We're going down, down in an earlier round.
Wait, Nikki. Uh-oh. That's
Eric.
We're supposed to be doing Fallout.
I'm like jamming because we're going to be talking about the Fallout Boy game today, right?
I'm pretty sure we're talking about the original Fallout.
And Boy. Not... This isn't a game where you play as a rock band and you tour around the United States and the world. And
actually, maybe it is. Luke?
I don't remember any guitars, but there's definitely touring that's happening in the game.
I may have played the wrong game, you guys. Just kidding. We're talking about Fallout, a post-nuclear role-playing game. I don't know. Fallout Boy has a better ring to it, I think.
Yeah, they should have called this game Fallout Boy instead of the other thing, yeah.
Anyways, this is Press City Button. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
And war. War never changes. In this world of Fallout, I'm Luke Nukem.
What up, Luke?
Wow. Howdy. So do we have to say war every time we want to talk to you?
Oh, God. Please, no.
It's one name I go by.
All right.
All right. So, Nikki, what is Fallout?
Fallout, a post-nuclear role-playing game. It's, surprise, surprise, a role-playing game developed and published by Interplay Productions for DOS, Windows, and Mac OS in 1997. In a post-apocalyptic and retro-futuristic world, decades after a global nuclear war between the United States and China, the player must scour the wasteland for a computer chip that will fix their vault's failed water supply system. Bum, bum, bum!
It's all about those resources.
Minor spoiler warning for some story talk for the first Fallout game and possibly some little things about the other games.
Yeah, and the lore.
But nothing too crazy. The game is almost 20 years old, though, so if you haven't played it yet, that's on you.
Yeah, what's wrong with
you? Yeah, I agree.
All right, we ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo! Fallout. It's an old-ass game. So I bet you were able to find a shiz ton of history.
It's not that old, 1997.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of information, and there's a lot of sources for it. This is like almost like a cult of information. I had to like go through a lot of stuff and kind of like match what was matching together and be like, this stuff sounds like it's made up.
Fact check.
Yeah, fact checked all the stuff that I could fact check.
But before we get started on the history, why did you choose this game, Luke? Because I know you play a bunch of games. We both thought that you were going to pick something like older, even older than this.
Well, this is pretty, this is one of the older ones.
So, yeah, what made you choose Fallout?
So, I've always loved like post-apocalyptic type of stories, like Resident Evil, anything where it's like, it's so bad. It's like, can you survive in this? What can you scavenge to like survive?
Mm-hmm.
You're really just hoping humanity ends, don't you?
Yeah, yes. Zombies won't get me. I'll get them first. So when it starts happening, I'll be ready.
I like how gamers, people who sit on their couch and like handle a controller all day are like, yes, I will totally survive in zombie apocalypse because I'll lock all the doors and no one will be able to come in.
Oh, no, you got to get to an island is what you got to do.
Oh, really? You thought about this?
I thought about it, too, and I thought, like, somewhere in the Midwest where it's just really rural and there aren't a lot of people to become zombies would be a good spot. And you have lots of food. You have, like, a lot of corn and cows and stuff.
I thought about it, too, and I'll be the first to admit that I'll probably be the first person to die.
Yeah.
Because I'm the least athletic person in the world.
You'll be sprinkling like salt and pepper on your arm. Be like, hey, just go ahead and do it.
I'll be trying to run away and then I'll trip immediately and get eaten.
Yeah, like that thing where you're trying to get into your car and you drop your car keys as they're coming for you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I really feel like it's going to be like when and where you're at whenever it happens, where you're going to like, because of course resources and stuff like that are going to be, and then also defense, because you got to be able to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely get away from cities, that's for sure.
But to get back on track.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you play this game like right when it came out, or did you play like a little bit after?
Well, when I first originally played this game, it was actually on someone else's computer, and I was like, I don't even know how to play this thing. And so I was like, yeah. But later on, I actually played Fallout 3, and I fell in love with the story and the game and everything that had to do with it. And I was like, well, now I got to play all of them.
Yeah.
So I'm back to Fallout 1. It's really fun because they have like little Easter eggs, I guess you could say, all over the place that have like a little bit of history of like what happened before, you know, your time coming out of the vault.
Cool.
There's a lot of twists and plot changes in it, in the story that are really great. I've always enjoyed like turn-based type of thing where it's like I have a second to think, like, where do I want to do? And I don't have to like worry about like, oh, I only got a certain amount of time to do stuff.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, Fallout and all that, all the lore and stuff like that is just really like entertaining to me.
Cool. Well, I guess let's get into it then.
All right. Well, Fallout was the development of it started in like 1994. By Tim Kaine, and originally, like, he started out just by himself, and it was kind of like a side project. The original game was actually supposed to be the sequel to Wastelands, which Wasteland was more, like, even more basic than this game. But there was a disagreement with the people who were going to give them the engine for the character creation, which was called, like, GURP. So a guy named Steve Jackson created the generic Universal Role-Playing System. And this is something that's used pretty much on like all like tabletop games and stuff like that. And it was integrated into video games. So it's more or less like literally like Dungeons and Dragons type of stuff. Like, you know, rolling dice type of like.
Yeah.
So there was a disagreement on like the production of the next game. Like, I think it was like it's too gory and too violent. So they didn't want to be a part of it. So they split it ways. So the creator, Tim Kaine, he created a new character creation thing based on that called Special, which is strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, luck.
Wow, so a lot of things.
Right. So that those are the points that you put into the game whenever you're putting your allocating. So it was like a total new thing, because I think like with D&D you have like wisdom and other stuff, but they went a different way with their own thing, but it's based loosely on that. The game took several years and almost like $30 million.
How much?
$3 million to do it.
Oh, which, okay. Oh. I thought you said $300 million. I was like, whoa, in 1997?
So $3 million would have been a pretty decent sized budget back then for a game, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. Back in 1997, $1 million was like, like, you know, like a lot. And now $1 million, I mean, to me, it's still a lot, but compared to like the billionaires, you know, $1 million is not a lot.
In 2022, it would have been equivalent of $5.11 million.
Okay.
Dang.
And the game development started slowly. They ended up like a couple years with only 15 people. Then eventually it ramped up to like 30 people. They actually had a lot of discussion about the actual name of the game itself, which...
I would call it like The Vault.
The Vault. Oh, people, you know, that vault, could also be like you're vaulting over something.
That's true.
So, actually, one of the names was Vault 13.
Ha! Huh. Boom!
A GURPS post-nuclear role-playing game. Another one was Armageddon, which Interplay already had set aside for a different game, which never actually got developed.
Oh.
And then finally, the president, Brian Fargo, was like Fallout. And that's what they ended up going with.
Cool. Because of Fallout Shelter. Right?
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, Fallout's a good name for it.
Yeah. Simple.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
So when it first came out, they sold 600,000 copies worldwide. So they got
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't do actual commercials. What they did was they sent out a demo disc, and that's how they more or less advertised.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, like, in the late 90s, that was like everybody was doing that.
Yeah, I remember being that age, though, and like... It gives you a chance to play a bunch of games and see what you like.
Yeah, I remember like get like a magazine, and then like it always have like, you know, a computer magazine to have those free discs, and they were like, ah, free games.
Yeah. And if you know your game is good, what's the worry, you know? Because people are going to want to continue playing it.
Yeah, exactly.
If the game sucks, then that's where you might have a problem, where people are like, no, thank you.
thanks for that demo disc. Now I know that I don't have to purchase anything.
Yeah. How crappy that game is. So when it came out, did people like it? Was it received well?
Yes, it was. Like, it was actually nominated for a bunch of different awards and stuff like that. One was like PC Role Gaming of the Year, Outstanding Achievement in Music and Sound.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
Those are just nominations. Mm-hmm. They got Best RPG Adventure Game. Ones that they did get was Best Role-Playing Game from GameSpot, which, have you heard of a magazine or something called mm-hmm. GameSpot?
Yeah.
I've heard like the video game store, but I didn't realize there was a magazine called that.
Yeah, I remember the website GameSpot back in the day.
Yeah, me too.
I don't remember the magazine part.
Well, a lot of websites are magazines.
Yeah, that's websites. True.
And then Role-Playing Game of the Year from Computer Games Magazine.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it's funny because like I hadn't really even heard of this game until like later in the series. I think it was Fallout 3 was when I finally heard about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
So it's interesting that it actually was doing pretty well and was getting this kind of critical acclaim. And I had no idea it was even a thing.
Well, I feel like it was one of those first games where you really had to be into computers, because first you had to pull out the money to buy a computer. And that time, like to have a personal computer back then, it was probably like $4,000 for a personal computer was probably like a normal. Mm-hmm. As where today it's like, oh, so much. So I feel like the first gamers were like, this is like the stuff, kind of like a Full Throttle, where it's like, this is just starting to come out and showing like the potential of games, how they could be like so much more and not just be like a basic like jump to the side, jump over things. It's like, oh, here's puzzles. Mm-hmm. Now you gotta find things, and like we're gonna hide. This is like also hiding stuff in the map where it's like, oh, I found this. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a ton of like secrets and like details in this game. A lot of like little details too. It's kind of nuts how much they kind of crammed into this game.
Yeah, and some of the inspiration they took was from Mad Max, Buck Rogers, which that's why you have all like the laser guns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And A Boy and His Dog, which is another apocalyptic thing about some guy who finds his dog and they're just roaming the wastelands, which,
cool.
Which I yeah. was like, that's cool. Like their inspiration for everything.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. You can tell that this game has a lot of inspiration. Especially with, like, movies and stuff. Like, I can see a lot of the references there. Especially Mad Max and, like, some of that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Too bad you don't have a sweet car you get to, like, drive through the desert in this game.
You do. I did find a used car shop at one point.
Totally the same.
Well, you couldn't actually buy any cars from the guy, unfortunately. I tried. I'm like, yeah, sell me one of your cars. Like, yeah, if you just throw in some gas, like, I'll buy it. He's like, well, I don't have any gas. that's gonna be a problem.
Darn. Yeah, there is no gas. Like, so it's like, yeah, you could have a brand new car, everything works, but you ain't got no gas to drive it.
Yeah. I think I'd actually, like, seen stuff from this game before I really knew what the game was. Like, the little blonde... I guess, what do you, the Fallout Pip?
Is that what Pip Boy.
Pip Boy. Yeah, like I saw him in things like way before I actually knew that he was from Fallout.
Yeah.
Like, and Nuka-Cola, that was another thing that I saw around before I really knew like what it was from. So I think they did a good job of like coming up with little cool, like marketable things that like
yeah,
and turn into toys and stuff really easily.
It's kind of nuts how much of that stuff is really in the first game too, because when you think about like series like this, sometimes they'll add like more stuff as the series progresses. Mm-hmm. But like from here, like you can, yeah, see Nuka-Cola, the Pip-Boy, like all the main signature things are like there, like the power armor, some of the enemies, like mm-hmm. the super mutants and stuff like that. Like that's all in the first game, which is super
strong
cool.
Branding. Very yeah. strong branding.
Oh yeah. They definitely thought out this story very well when they created the game. Granted, I don't know if like the lore and stuff like that was at the same time, but I feel like they set the game up to go forever. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's like a very open ending, and like, there's so many possibilities they could go with, which they have.
Awesome. Well, I know that there's like a lot of like lore and story to this game. So did you find anything about all that?
I mostly, whenever anyone tried to talk to me, I was just like, I'd say something sarcastic.
Oh my gosh.
You can't tell me to put away my guns or I'll blow your face off.
You can be so sassy in this game. It's great.
Like, I always try to be, like, you know, the angel of the game where I help everybody. And it's like, I'm going to be so polite to everybody because you're going to give me good stuff if you do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if I've talked to someone, like, several times and I'm like, now I'll start doing the sassy stuff. I'm like, you're not giving me anything, so, you know. Yeah.
I mostly just didn't want a chance dying, so I was like afraid to be sassy, but it always made me laugh. Like who's gonna say that?
Who's gonna get so mad that they try to kill me after I say something sassy?
Yeah.
Which a lot of the stuff in the game that you can get past if you just say the right things, which is kind of a cool thing. Like you can put your luck like all the way up and just hope that you just everything goes your way.
That's great.
Or charisma all the way up and just like you get like all the dialogue boxes.
Yeah.
So you all of a sudden you're like have all these options to be like, oh, actually you want to give me that.
Mm-hmm. Become Princess Donut.
Yes, exactly. The
Dungeon Crawler Crawl series.
This is a very obscure reference.
I know. I love Princess Donut so much.
They need to know about Princess Donut.
Totally different thing, guys.
Totally different. Back on track.
So, but yeah, the lore is like so great. Like not only part of this game, which that's one of the things I really liked about the game, is like finding like those like data discs, mm-hmm. and like downloading and reading like all the stuff that like this happened and being like, whoa, all these things happened before the Great War.
Mm-hmm.
Which the best way to describe like what's going on during this is that think of our timeline pretty much exactly the same, except for in like after World War II, the like 1950s and 1960s, like the timeline just jumps a different direction. Everything else is the same, but all of a sudden, like, the Cold War doesn't end, and we're still battling with the Soviet Union,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's driving us. All of a sudden, it's like, we're still war-torn. We need to keep everything the same, which is what brings you to, like, having, like, all the, you know, 50s and 60s, like, vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I get that.
So, like...
So it's almost like an alternative timeline.
Yes. So, like, it's all happens on Earth. Like, it takes place in California, like, the southeast part of California, around, like, Los Angeles.
That would be southwest, though, right?
Yes, sorry. Yeah.
Whatever, somewhere in California. Yeah,
I don't live there. Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
eventually, the name turned into Angel Boneyard, which eventually just went to Boneyard. So, did you guys make it to Boneyard in the game?
Yeah.
So like there's reasons like for a lot of the names in the game. Like they were like, oh yeah, this is the bones of Los Angeles. So it's the Angels' bones,
mm-hmm.
and then they turned it to the Boneyard. But anyways, that's
I think they should just go ahead and change the name of Los Angeles to that anyway. That sounds way better.
Yeah. Like that sounds more like a place in like Vegas, the Boneyard.
It does.
Used to be LA, now it's the Boneyard.
Oh yeah. The boning.
It probably is a place with the mobsters. Yeah. Like, take him out to the Boneyard.
Yeah. He'll sleep with the bones tonight.
Yeah.
Sleep with the bones. He'll sleep with the fishes.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I like that better though. Sleep with the bones.
Sleep with the bones. So yeah, so the timeline changes. Pretty much what happens is the United States end up like separating each other into like 13 groups of the United States, like 13 commonwealths. That's where you get all the commonwealths, 13 commonwealths.
Oh, okay.
And the idea behind that was that they were trying to help regulate like all the strife that was going on, stuff like that. So they're kind of like above the state, but below the federal.
Like, so was this after the fallout happened?
No, this is before. So the Great War happened in 2077. And before that, like everything is ramping up to the Great War, which is where they dropped nuclear bombs on pretty much every city on the world.
Oh, wow.
And so the Great War, like I said, happened in 2077 and it only lasted for like 2 hours. But it was just nuclear.
2 hours.
That's all the longer that war was.
God, that's scary.
Because they literally just destroyed the world.
Oh, man.
And game over. They're done. Except for the people who...
That is crazy.
Who got selected to be in, like, you know, the Fallout vault shelters and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
Which that right there in itself is like a nuts idea. So there's so much stuff.
I imagine like that's what like the glow is, like where it'd be like a site that was hit with the where the bomb hit.
That's correct.
And there's still a lot of radiation there.
It was a research facility that they were researching FEV, which is forced evolutionary virus.
Oh, is that where you get the super mutants?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
And so that's also why everything around there is mutated, is because I hit that bunker and all the stuff they had in there went up in the sky. and it fell down on everything and started mutating everything.
Yeah.
The whole reason behind that is that Republic of China was starting to use biological warfare against them, and they were like using it more and more. So the United States was like, how do we make a counter to this?
Yeah.
So like, well, we got to make our immunities to where we can survive anything they throw at us. And so they started this thing to be like, okay, what can we do to like change our DNA to where when they do this, and whatever they did, they eventually came out with that, which made the super mutants.
Okay, cool.
Oh man. Like I said, there's like so much going on. Like, my brain's filled with all the lore and all this
is
to come
a lot
out all the time.
Deeper and a lot more thought out than I got from playing the game.
Yeah, my usual like thing is I would go into a room, someone would try to talk to me, I'd start chucking grenades at them.
Yeah,
it's like, stop talking to me, I got grenades.
Yeah. I got things to do.
Yeah, again, like reading just like the stuff that's in the game, you find out all the information. It's like they're talking about like, oh, we're about to like move this base to another place, but then it was like just before the Great War, but then it blew up before they could move it.
Mm-hmm.
And China and America are pretty much like the big powers, and they're fighting over oil and resources. Oil is like the last big resource that they're fighting over. And like Alaska ends up being the last place with oil. So China is trying to take over Alaska, and America is like, well, we need to keep Alaska to us because we need the oil. They end up annexing Canada. So all of a sudden America is Canada too. So that way they easier get to Alaska to be able to keep the oil. I mean, it's so crazy. And then eventually it's just like they all run out of resources, and someone decides, well, I guess I'm just going to nuke everybody because we don't have anything. I'm going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And so, but
seems pretty realistic, honestly.
So again, like there's so many different side stories going on, because even before all this happened, even before like China started being like, well, we're going to start using bioweapons and stuff like that, American elites started their own like dark secret group called the Enclave. So they were like, oh, we see what's going to happen. This planet's going to get nuked. So what we need to do is we need to have a plan to get off this planet and be able to get to another planet and mm-hmm. repopulate. That's where it brings you back to the vaults. The vaults were not there to save people. They were there to experiment on people.
What?
Yeah. So if you're lucky, you got to be in one of the control vaults. So those are the vaults that you come out of, like Vault 13, Vault 111, Vault 101. Those were control vaults. The other vaults were the ones that they experimented on to see like how long can people live in isolation together, and like if we tell them to do something like,
oh man, that's so fucked up.
There was one experiment at Vault 11 where they were like, all right, you need to kill one person, and if you don't, then we're gonna gas you all and you're all gonna die. So they ended up killing the vault overseer, in which so like every year they'd be like, all right, you need to kill somebody. And so it became,
what's the point of that?
It's psychological tests to see if they would actually follow directions and stuff like that. And then so it became where like the vault overseer became the yearly sacrifice. So if you were chosen to be the vault overseer,
oh, no.
And then one day they're like, you know, who knows how long, they were like, no, we're not going to do it. And then a recording played, good job, you did the right thing. And no one
that's
died.
Messed up.
Yeah, like, but they would do they would also do other things where like they make a vault that's not actually sealed up to where radiation could leak in, and they would be able to see like the effects of that, because again, they're trying to make more or less like a generational ship that they can use to get to another planet. And like again, like these are like crazy like backstories and lore of what's going on, because all of a sudden you're like, holy crap. And again, like in the game, if you read those little things, you'll get like little clips of like, oh man, that's what happened. And like, it's,
yeah, that's absolutely nuts.
Yeah. And there's so much like little lores and stuff like that. So Now I feel like I'm like on a roll.
Yeah, I'm like, we don't have to get into everything because we'll be here for like 5 hours. Oh, yeah. But it is really super interesting.
Yeah.
One last thing about lore, just to kind of like, so the main boss, spoiler, main boss of the game, his name was Master. His backstory is that he was actually a vault dweller in Vault 8, and he apparently was kicked out because he murdered someone. I'm not sure like if that's the correct story, but anyway, he left, and that's whenever he started his journey outside, and eventually he found himself into the military base up top where he fell into a vat, and that's how he became deformed. But whenever he fell into it, he was also able to start absorbing like other creatures. Like a mouse ran by, his body would just absorb that. And like, then he found that like when he, but then he found like when he would absorb like people and stuff like that, all of a sudden he's like, now I have like their memories. And so, so he started like becoming smarter, smarter. And like, eventually he was starting to experiment with the FEV. And what he was doing is he was putting like two things in the vat at a time. So he'd put like a dog and a human, which if you guys saw those lesser sentinels, like those guys that had like a bunch of legs mm-hmm. and two heads, that was a dog and a human. That was because of his experiments.
Whoa.
So like that's what he was doing. He was experimenting by like combining two things. He'd do like a bear and a rat, and he would mix those up and you get those giant bear rats out of there.
I thought those were bears.
But, yeah. I mean, I thought they were bears too. And then it was like, yeah, it was like giant mole rat or something.
Or ear moles mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, like I like there's so much stuff I wasn't sure like what, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, it's crazy, man. We got a lot of lore, but we actually didn't really touch on the story of the game that much. Like you're a vault dweller and you're trying to get a water chip. So what I want to know is, what does this water chip exist? Because I didn't get it.
Yeah, I didn't find it either.
Well, yes, it most definitely exists. And there's a couple different ways of getting it, but it definitely...
So who has it?
The
Necropolis.
Necropolis.
Oh, yeah, Necropolis.
That's where it's at. You end up like talking to one ghoul in the sewers, and he's like, yeah, we have one, but you know we can't give it to you because you know we can't make water and stuff like that. But they have a water pump that super mutants are protecting. And so, but it's broken, but they won't let anybody fix it because the super mutants are trying to capture people who want to try to take it. So that way they can go and convert them into more super mutants.
Very smart, actually.
So
it's a human trap is what it is.
Yes, it is.
So I was right there. I was in that like sewer system or whatever. And I just kept getting lost. So I was like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Because it's like a maze down there.
Yeah, there's one point I think you have to go back up top and, mm-hmm. and then find the other entrance to go back down into it.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, anyways. I was so close.
But yeah, so you can go there and there's two different possibilities. Like either you fight those mutants and then you fix it. Or you talk to the mutant, he captures you. You go to the base, and then you escape the base, and then you go back, and then, you know, fight the mutants. And then you fix the water pump, and after you fix the water pump, they'll let you go down there and get the chip, and then you take that back.
Okay.
Cool.
So that's the game. Cool. And then I assume and you get a glorious treatment as you are welcomed back into your vault with a water chip. What?
No, you're sent back out because they find out that, oh, there's super mutants. It's like, you got to stop them.
What?
So after
the work never ends.
Yeah. So after you get the chip back, they're like, yeah, you got to go out there and like stop the source of the super mutants before they, you know, they come and take the people from the vault. Cause that's what they're looking for is the people from the vault. That's their biggest game.
So it kind of feels like it's all for nothing.
New game name idea should have been called The Vault People.
All right. So you guys want to move on to pros and cons and stuff?
Yeah.
Starting with the pros. All right, Nikki.
Me?
Yeah, I feel like maybe you didn't like this game as much as the rest of us. So,
okay, well, you know, that's unfair because Luke literally picked this game out of like thousands of games. So we know he really, really, really
actually,
likes
it. Actually, yeah, let's start with Luke.
I think you're a medium liking it. right? And I'm more on the lower end, but I did not hate the game.
I feel like I'm actually kind of on the higher end.
Okay.
Of liking this
game. All right, all right. Yeah, let's start with Luke, since you picked it.
I'm definitely top shelf liking this game.
What's like one of the main things you like about this game?
Well, the story is my main thing. Like, video games, if they can capture my imagination and pull me in with a really great story, that's always my favorite thing.
Yeah, it's so detailed, and I like, it's really cool to hear like how much thought they put into everything, because most games don't go that hard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, a lot of games do, but not all games do.
So. Yeah, it's one of those, if you're really getting into it, you can really keep digging and digging like as much as you want. And then on the other hand, you really don't have to dig that much. You can pretty much just play through and kind of ignore most of the story if you want.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't even have to do any of the side quests. It's just more or less getting leveled up to be able to fight those battles whenever you do have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. To kind of piggyback off the story, I like that this world that they've created, like the environment that you're in, it's just very kind of like believable, and it's almost like an open world game.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it kind of is.
I mean, it definitely is an open world game. Definitely.
Yeah, you have like so much to explore, and it's just like very stylized, and that feeds into the story and making it really like believable and everything.
Yeah, the 50s vibe is like, I really like that. I was kind of fascinated with like the 50s and like that kind of like, I don't know, like the cars and the way that they had everything was kind of like weird. I don't know. It was like not futuristic, but it kind of was.
It's like what they thought was going to be futuristic and not what was actually futuristic.
Yeah, I need some fins on the back of my car because it's going to fly.
Man. But yeah, for me, like, I really enjoyed the game. It reminded me a lot of like the original Diablo, just in the art style.
Yeah.
Which actually came out around the same time. And, you know, I know a younger version of me would have really gotten into this game, would have really loved it if I would have been able to get it to run on my really crappy computer that I had back then. It was pretty much a piece of junk. But yeah, I enjoyed it overall. I also like the fact that you can just be a complete smartass to everybody.
Oh, I have that too. Like, yeah, all the funny dialogue options, those like really cracked me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. Like in the taunts, whenever you're in battles, and like whenever you get hurt, it'll give you like a description. And it's like, oh, you got like an awesome scar to talk about.
Yeah.
And Ian's dialogue, it's so cheesy. Take that and all this. And like,
oh, I love it. Like when he decides he's not going to use his gun anymore and he's going to like start fist fighting, he yells, I'm going to kick your ass because he runs towards me. I love it. It cracked me up every time. What's something else you got, Luke?
I definitely like the turn base of the game. Like I like being able to use strategy to be like, all right, well, because again, to keep like dog meat alive, you have to like angle yourself just right, so that way, you know, the enemies don't shoot towards him.
Yeah, they pick you as the target instead of dog meat.
And your helper, because they'll sometimes shoot your helper, and it's like, ah, no, and then the helper will shoot him. But yeah, like trying to figure out like what's the best strategy and like having that time to think, like, okay, I can use this many points to get over here, and then I can reload. Yeah.
That's why you always want to initiate combat. That's that way they're targeting you.
Hit that A button. hit like the dialogue box is closing. Start tapping that A button. Attack! Attack! Attack!
Yeah, but I like the D&D influence is pretty clear in this game, and that kind of made it easier for me to initially pick up, just because I kind of had that in my background. I could be like, oh yeah, this reminds me a lot of D&D. Like,
yeah, the fact that all of your choices have like a different set of consequences or rewards, you know, depending on what you pick, is cool.
Oh yeah, like, yeah.
Oh yeah. And that dreaded roll a one, and it's you shoot yourself and lose a turn,
or you drop your weapon. I kept doing that. I kept dropping my weapon.
What did you start out with your luck?
I forget.
Did you lower it?
No, I don't think it was too low. I thought it was actually pretty high. Okay. But occasionally I would. Maybe it was just a weapon I wasn't supposed to be using anyway.
You might not have enough points in to use it.
Yeah. But it would be like, oh, you dropped your weapon. And it'd fall around all these corpses. And I'd be like, shit, where'd it go? It's so tiny.
I've had criticals where dog meat's standing behind me. And somehow I'm shooting away from him, and I still like turn around and, like, kill him.
I'm like, oh, that's so sad.
I'm like, all right, gotta reload.
I like that there's just like so many different weapons and things to find. Like, I think I probably had at least like 5 or 6 different kinds of guns.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy for like a game that old on the computer. Like, I don't know. They just had a lot.
Yeah. There are a ton of like just different weapon options and fighting mm-hmm. options.
I agree. Which makes me feel like that's why it's so close to like the first, like, you know, from paper to video game, where it's like, well, we gotta have all this stuff, otherwise it doesn't match up with our D&D Fallout game.
Yeah.
True.
I like that you're given a lot of options as far as like what type of character you want to be and want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just morality options, but, you know, like you can choose to sneak around and like lockpick things, or you can be more brazen and stuff mm-hmm. and just go balls to the wall. Just start chucking grenades and everything.
That's my style.
I have a question. So, Luke, you played this game a bunch of times, right?
Yes.
Do you always pick one of the pre-made characters, or do you do a custom character?
I always do a custom character, but that's because I know like the benefits of what and mm-hmm. what to get like in the beginning.
Okay, Eric, did you do a pre-made character?
Yeah, I just did. I did. What was it, Natalie or Natasha?
It was Natalie or Natasha. It might have been Natasha, and I think there was like a...
I thought it was Natalia.
It could have been.
It's either Natalia, Natasha, or Natalie.
Well, like, shows how much we paid attention.
I call her Lady N.
Lady N.
Or the girl character.
Yeah, the girl character.
Like I was calling her. Oh, I have a fun fact, because we learned this other day. We were watching a speed run. She's the fastest character. So if you're doing a speed run, you need to pick her, because like her stride is
her animation quicker. Her animation cycle is shorter mm-hmm. than the male. So
okay,
yeah, yeah, so she's
they
bit
could
faster.
Actually get her to run faster because of that shorter animation cycle.
Ah. Knowledge is power.
Quick like a gazelle.
Yeah. Another thing that's awesome about this game is you can save as often,
yeah, and you
and
need
as much
to.
As you want to. It's it kind of reminded me of Doom, like. It was kind of how I played Doom and how I played this, where I was like saving every like 2 seconds.
Yeah. And you really do, like, especially if you're like getting into a dialogue tree with someone and you're like, this could go south. And I don't want to, not necessarily want it to go south.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to call you a bitch.
I take it back.
I just wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah. I'm reloading right now. I'm going to apologize next playthrough. I actually liked how difficult the game was, like how it was like,
oh, it was definitely a challenge.
I
mean,
like, there's like the first thing I did is I went to vault 15, but again, I played the game, so I knew I needed at least 2 ropes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like,
well, one of those ropes you can find in there after using the first one. Like, you only really need 1 rope because you can find a rope like within the vault.
Okay, yeah. I just remember I bought one from one dude, and like in that first that shed.
Yeah.
Like, because it's curled up there, and I was like, my first thought was like, is that poo? And I clicked on it. I was like, a rope? I didn't know that was there. I was like, I didn't have to buy that rope.
I guess it is the shape, same shape as a poop emoji or whatever.
Yeah, it was kind of curled up. But again, like finding like stuff like that where it's like, there's nothing to indicate like that's a rope that you can pick up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to go over and like identify it, and like, which kind of reminds me of like Myst, where it's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to click on, but if I keep clicking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I kind of actually had that more as a con.
Well,
we'll get into it.
I have one more pro.
Okay.
I like that you have Ian, and once you find dog meat, you have dog meat that are there to help you, but you don't actually have to, like,
tell them what to
do anything for them. Yeah, yeah. They just kind of automatically help you, which is really nice.
You can upgrade their weapons.
You can, yeah.
And you can give them stem packs, that way they can heal themselves.
Oh, God. I did not know that.
Yeah,
There's so much I didn't know.
If you barter with Ian, you can like give him stuff. Yeah. And you can actually take his bottle caps in exchange too.
Yeah. I had a different helper. Like, I saw Ian, but I was like, I don't want him. And like later on, there's another helper you can get. It was like Kajar, K-A-T-J-A,
mm-hmm.
Kajar. And like, I would use her as a mule. I'd be like, well, I can't carry all these weapons. I need to sell. So I'll give them to her. And then I'll just exchange her stuff that she needs and get my stuff back.
Yeah.
I started eventually doing that with Ian a little bit too. It's like, oh yeah, you can actually carry quite a bit of stuff.
Which Fallout 2, I believe they make the interaction with your helpers better. Now, I'm pretty sure in Fallout 2, you can tell Dogmeat to stay. So that way you don't have to worry about him getting into battles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is kind of an issue.
I'm pretty sure because every time, like, I'll be like, oh, I wish I could just... I'm pretty sure I thought you could. And I was like, it has to be about Fallout 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably added that later.
All right, any other pros?
I'm ready to talk about the cons.
I know you are, Nikki. So, Nikki...
You make it sound like I hate this game. I don't hate it.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Okay, so, Nikki... is there anything that you didn't particularly like about this game or you might have thought could have been improved?
Oh, yeah. Ian is an idiot. I mean, as much as I did appreciate him in the battles, sometimes there would be times that I was like trying to run away and he would literally go the opposite direction as me to go towards the fight. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. Like... in combat. Nope. He goes straight back to them. It's like, well, I guess we're doing this because like, there's no other way. So he was just like always getting in my way. Even though he was helpful, it was like equally as annoying.
The really annoying thing to me is just having those helpers where they're following you around. You go into a doorway and then you're like, oh, I don't need anything in here. And you try to go back out and they're just standing in the doorway waiting for you. And it's like, you can't leave until you actually like get them to
walk
come
around.
In.
Around, yeah.
It's pretty annoying.
So pretty much like last stage, you set a self-destruct for 3 minutes and you got to run out. So as I was running out, I got to the last floor. And I'm like, right there's the door to get out. And the helper gets in front of me and like, he doesn't want to move. So I literally had to kill him.
Oh, no.
To make it out.
Oh, no.
Wow. The drama.
And I was like,
the
I was
drama.
Like, move. I was like, just move. I don't have time for you to stand here and reload your gun. Like,
I don't have time for this.
And I'm like, all right, here it goes. And like,
RIP, Ian.
Yeah. If it was dog meat, I'd be like, oh, I got to restart again.
Yeah. I always feel way more guilty killing the animals than the people.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm like, you should have known better if it's a human. Like, you should have, you're not that stupid. The dog doesn't know. You know, the dog doesn't know.
The dog's just trying to be helpful.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think I kind of mentioned this already, but the in-game items that you can actually find on the ground or if you drop your weapon or something, they're like proportional to your character size. So like your character sprites are already really small. Mm-hmm. So these like weapon icons on the map are actually like super tiny. So there have been several instances where I've dropped a weapon or something and then I just couldn't find it. I could sit there and like try to scan every like pixel of the map. But I just
I guess that's gone.
Yeah. And it was kind of like, it was kind of frustrating because it'd be like, oh man, I really needed that. Or I really like that item.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just too small for me to find.
Yeah. You have to find like that perfect balance of like resolution to size to be like, okay, this is not too small to where like I can't see anything, but it's not too large where I can't see the enemies that are like 5 feet away from me.
Oh yeah.
Like, so it's like, you had to like find that like good median, but yeah, there's like... like a line of pixels, and that's a flare.
Yeah. Yeah. Also that, and like trying to move around, like you can give directions to move like a little ways, but if you wanted to move it to the end of the map, it's like, you couldn't just click on the end of the map. It's like, you had to like do these points like, and it wasn't quite clear like how far you could get them to run. It seems like you should just be able to click on the edge of the map and just have them run there.
I feel like there was like a 30 step, or something like that. Like, you can go 30 blocks out before you have to like re-click again. Yeah, that was kind of annoying.
Yeah, I'm just like, it felt arbitrary. Like, why is that a thing? But I don't know. What about you, Luke?
Well, like you said, like the controls. I've played so many games to where it's like, I know what good controls are.
Yeah,
and it's like I feel like this was more or less a beginning of games for like this tie click stuff.
They were still trying to figure out what they were doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the controls were just bad. Like, again, like going around to like trying to get around the map, and
yes,
also the inventory was like,
oh my god,
it's so slow to use the inventory. And then I felt like you had to like learn like a weird click foo to be able to like use stuff while you're in the inventory.
Yeah, and then there was also the multiple ways you would have to use an item. Like sometimes you would add it to like your weapon spot and use it. And sometimes, like if it was a hard drive or something, you would have to right click and use it from your inventory. Like you couldn't do it the same way. And it was kind of confusing. For a while, a long time, it took me a while to figure out how to actually use those, like, not hard drives, but hollow drives. Or,
right.
Yeah, I think that's the word. But yeah, you actually have to use those when they're in your inventory. Like you have to right click on them and get to the use option.
Yeah. Yeah, I have like the clunky controls too. It's little things like clicking on the map and then having to move over and click done to exit out of the map instead of clicking on the map to open it and then clicking on map to close it. You know, little things like that. It's like everything in this game just took forever. And I guess that's just 1997 for you, because yeah, like the internet was slow. Like computers in general were pretty slow. But I'm not a very patient person. So I was just like, I just want to be done with it. Like, yeah, and I kept like accidentally clicking on the wrong things on accident. And then I felt like random things were in random areas. And for me personally, I kept forgetting to click on the pip thing and didn't even really know what it was until Eric was like, yeah, you need to click on that so you can like move forward in time and stuff.
Yeah, like if you want
to
wait.
If it's night and you need it to be day or whatever. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
How would I know that by just playing the game? This is the first one, so I don't know. Like, how am I supposed to know what PIP is?
Technically, like, there is a manual that I think Luke sent along. I didn't think I forwarded it to you, though. I don't think you would have read it anyway.
Oh, I thought you meant in the game.
No, just like an outside manual that would come with it.
That kind of stuff would actually be a pro for me, because I literally like to play a game and like then play it again and be like, oh, wait a minute. You mean I didn't have to like walk around the map for a day? I could have just went to my Pip-Boy and said like rest for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was totally there with you on that. Like I'm pretty sure, like, even like whenever I restarted playing this time, I did that where I was like walking around and I was like, oh wait a minute, and I was like trying to like figure out the status, and I was like, I could have been doing this the whole time.
Yeah, I prefer the game to just maybe tell me in a very simple way.
Yeah. As long as it's not a tutorial, right?
Yeah.
Not a tutorial.
Yeah, it's like there's a balance between having like too many tutorials and then not having any at all and not having clear directions.
Yeah, having something that like as you do stuff like pops up and says, oh, by the way, until you say don't show again, those are nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure like the game gets better at that, like with the newer versions of it and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of the cons I kind of have, too, is there's a big learning curve for this game. At least for me, like, as someone who hasn't played a lot of PC games or, like, older games like that, it was like I had to learn the controls and I had to learn what I'm supposed to be doing, how to fight, how to use the weapons. You can only hold two weapons at a time. And, like, then there's, like, all these stats you can change and you can also level up. And then, like, you know, there's different characters to choose from, and like it's just a lot all at once, so it takes a while to kind of like figure the game out. So if you're not a patient person, you know, you can get frustrated.
Most definitely. Like I said, like playing the game the first time and being like, I don't even know how to play this. It's like, I'm not even gonna play it. But eventually I was like, well, I got to try again.
Yeah. Definitely challenging for sure, I think.
So my final con is just, it has to do with the isometric view that you have and buildings.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Like when you're in buildings, like it's kind of hard to describe. There's this giant part of the building that just covers up a lot of the space in a room. So you can only see like a little sliver of a room, and then you'll go down more into the room with your character, and then it'll be like this kind of like oval around your character where you can kind of see a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a wall, and like basically they don't make the walls invisible.
Yeah, they don't make the walls all the way invisible. They make some of them, they make the ceiling invisible.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about like, yeah, whenever you walk behind something, it does like the little view around you so that way you can see what's around you, but it's only a little ball, so so you gotta like tippy toe around
so it's really frustrating because you can't really just see. You have to actually take your character and walk like through these mm-hmm. areas so you can see what's actually supposed to be there.
Because there could be something hidden, because there are stuff hidden behind
Yeah, there is stuff that's hidden. So,
and then for me, like the texture of the outside of the buildings and stuff with the coloring, the way they did it, I was always like, where's the door? Like, it was hard for me to actually see where the doors were. And I kept, like, missing going in certain buildings because I didn't think there was a door there. But there really was a door there.
Sometimes the door isn't even, like, on one of the sides you can see. It's actually on a side you can't see that's covered up by the ceiling of the building. So you have to know that you have to kind of, like, get close on the side to look for the door.
Yeah, you can only see, like, the walls on the south and west side and the walls on the north and east side.
Yeah.
You have to be close enough to where it's, like, it makes the roof disappear. And then you're like, oh, okay, now I see the door.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which I do feel like it's bad and good at the same time, where good, it makes it more difficult. Bad, it makes it just like, why did they make a building with no door?
I think it's just bad. I think it's just like the limitation of the software, probably, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it's just bad. I don't think that kind of challenge is the kind of challenge I want to be.
That's something they definitely can improve on.
Yeah. All right. Anything else as far as cons go?
I just had like a couple game stuff. Well, like one thing that really bothered me is if you went down in like a basement or something like that where it's totally dark, you could strike a flare, put it in your, you know, like your hand, but it doesn't give you any kind of like light if you're holding your weapon slot, which mm-hmm. I feel like it should give you more light. And then also, whenever you're in the dark, your hit percentage goes way down. But if you put a flare right next to your enemy, it doesn't increase that. Even though you've increased your view and you can see them now, it's like your hit chance still doesn't go up.
Oh, I never even touched the flares.
Oh yeah, I use the flare to like see, like, you know, where I'm going, like. Especially if I'm not like sure, I'm like, oh, there might be something over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun, like throwing it at a creature because it's just funny. It's like you throw a flare, it like hits them and bounces. Like, now I can see it.
Yeah, that should make your chances go up.
Yeah.
But they didn't think that far ahead, yeah, I guess.
I was like, what's the point of these other than I can see slightly better?
I don't know, you may not know the answer to this, is I just thought of it, but is this a game that people do like mods of a lot, like Doom? You know how people do different versions of Doom? Do people do that with this game?
I don't know if that's as popular. I know there's some stuff, but
I know there's mods for like Fallout 3.
I mean, we did the high resolution patch with, which I think is a mod, right?
I would guess so. It's definitely a patch of like an updated patch or something.
But yeah, now it seems like it's included in the regular game itself. Yeah, so.
It's cool. Not like downloaded separately.
Yeah.
I was just curious because I was like, oh, you could do a mod and just tweak that one little thing where your players, you know.
I feel like Fallout 2 and Fallout Tactics were mods because it's pretty much the same game except for you're playing it slightly different.
Oh, okay.
That's funny.
So yeah, Fallout 3 and Fallout 4, I think, were the mod heavy ones where you could like just go nuts.
Cool.
Yeah,
I actually played a Fallout 3 mod where you could play with two people, but it was super glitchy to the point where we tried it out like one time. We're like, yeah, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Darn. But sounds cool though.
They tried.
Yeah.
That's usually what it is. It's someone like, hey, what if I try this thing? And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, yeah.
They came out with Fallout 76. So that was the first multiplayer Fallout.
Okay. Yeah. And it wasn't quite as popular.
I got it. I just felt like, again, like playing Fallout 3, Fallout 4, I felt like it didn't match up. And it was like Fallout 3, you go in this big building and it would take you a while to like clear it out. Fallout 76, it's like you walk in, you search like three things and you're done. And I'm like, that's not fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to go back and play it.
Who knows? Maybe they've improved it since, because sometimes like when a game initially releases, it's almost like a like a tech demo state or something.
Right.
It's like, especially nowadays.
Like that now.
Yeah. And it will take like, and then like 2 or 3 years later, it'll be great. And sometimes it won't be, and they just will never have fixed it because it didn't sell well.
Yeah.
So you never know. All right. So moving on, if we don't have
my favorite part. Strategy.
Strategy. All right, Nikki.
Woo-hoo. I have so many things listed out for the strategy of this game because I'm so good at it.
You're number one.
Number one strategy. Have fun.
Yeah.
Okay, just kidding.
True gamer.
My actual real first piece of strategy is go into the settings, and set it to always run.
Yes. That and to save constantly.
We ain't got no, we do not have time for walking in this game.
Save constantly, use multiple save states because you will need them, and also run all the time. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You like, there are so many times where you're like, ah, I didn't mean to like pull out my gun and like start a battle in the middle of town.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, now I gotta like either I gotta kill everybody and not be able to come back here, or I gotta relive.
I did a whole dungeon that like the glow or whatever. I didn't realize like I had like right away. I'm like, oh, I have like six of these. That should be enough for whatever radiation I get in here. It turns out it wasn't even close. Like, I got so much radiation.
Oh, no.
Like, it doesn't tell you a number, though, so you don't really know.
You have to find a Pip-Boy attachment, and it'll tell you that.
Okay, so if you have an attachment, it'll tell you, I guess.
Which I never use. It's just more or less when it told me I was radiated, I'd be like, let me.
But yeah, then I realized there was another way that you were supposed to do that. So I basically had a couple states where it was like, yeah, this was unwinnable because my character was so radiated. So I had to go back to a previous state. So that kind of like bailed me out. So
There's like certain buildings too that you can't walk into with weapons, or you immediately like get attacked.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, ooh, didn't know that. Let's try that again.
Most of the towns will want you to not have your weapons out.
Yeah, it's like hard to remember though, the way the inventory thing is set up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I gotta click in here and drag this over and like all this stuff.
All right, what about you, Luke?
Well, first thing I would do is I always create my own character. And so whenever you do that, put your intelligence up to at least 8.
Yeah.
Because the more intelligence you have, the more skill points you get every level.
Oh, cool.
So you can all of a sudden like level like your small guns, like max them out, and all of a sudden you're, you know, Dead Eye Dick.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, that sounds pretty important.
Yeah. I was too, like, I guess because my first time playing, you know, I was, like, too intimidated to create my own character. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I thought it would be like, okay, yeah, these are some base characters that would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just didn't really have a clue at that point, so.
Well, the great thing about the game is that you can totally do your points however you want. You still make it through it. You might be relying more on luck or mm-hmm. whatever, but like you pretty much can do whatever.
Yeah. So one of my pieces of advice is to talk to Ian, the leather jacket guy in the first town, and get him to join you, because he will make the early fights a lot easier. Especially yeah. like going through that first, I think it's Vault 15, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he helps a lot, especially being lower level. He just does a lot more damage earlier on than you do.
Yeah.
So it's just like nice to have someone who can pretty much kill everything. Mm-hmm. Eventually it will kind of like flip where you'll get stronger than him, like way stronger. But it is nice early game to have that as an assistant. But, you know, you also kind of shoot each other a little bit, you know, when you roll those ones, you make those critical mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Ian is pretty bad about that. He's just like, I'm not going to move. You need to move, or I'm just going to shoot through you. Yeah.
What a character, that Ian.
I love Ian.
He's a hoot.
Ian looks like half the other bad guys in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. There's one fight where I was like, it's like you're fighting 12 Ians. I was like, I don't even know where the real Ian's at.
It's like, which one of these is the real Ian? Like,
seriously.
Well, the real Ian, please stand up.
I mean, at least change the color of the jacket.
It's like, I'm Ian. No, I'm Ian. Oh, God. Which one do I shoot?
I know. I felt like I was in a movie.
Tell me something no one else will know. I shot you twice in the back yesterday. Okay, you're Ian.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Talk to everybody, because a lot of times in the dialogue they'll give you hints as to other parts of the map and like where kind of to go and explore. So if you read those and stuff, you can, the map's really big, so it kind of helps you have at least some kind of like some kind of point of reference of like which direction.
You learn this town is south of this town, or yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, like, sometimes you'll have to speak to a random person. Is it Junktown? Yeah, Junktown, where Gizmo, is that where Junktown?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you have to defeat, like, the skanks or something. Army
of skanks?
There's a gang called, like, the skanks or stags, skags.
Stangs, yeah, but, something but like that. You know, I know what you're talking about.
They're in that hotel, but, like,
Do you have to fight them?
Well, you have to get a mission to, like, whether or not you're going to like help them or not. And I was like, well, I'm going to like bust them, like, you know, get that way, like to get rid of them. And like, in order to complete that, you have to spend the night in the hotel or you can't go any further. So if you don't talk to them and be like, well, I guess I'll try to sleep in the hotel. It was actually one of the ones I did last because I was like, I wasn't sure what to do. And I was just like, screw it, I'm going to stay in a hotel. And all of a sudden it's like, what? There's dialogue. I got to kill this guy. Okay, here we go. You know, so that's
how you start finally, that quest. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So, talking to everybody and like trying stuff.
Try stuff.
Definitely. So grenades are great. I recommend stockpiling those. Way better than dynamite, in my opinion. I've tried to use dynamite in a few fights. That just does not work well.
Yeah, you got that timing.
Yeah, you have a timer on your dynamite. So you set the timer and you're like, okay, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Like,
whoa, that's a long 90. Time.
Well, you don't really quite have a frame of reference for how long it's going to take to go off, really. Like, I wasn't really sure how long to set the timer. And whenever I did, it felt like way too long. Unless it like blew up because I set it poorly or something.
So that's one thing I would put as a con too, which is like you have to set the time. And after you do that, it goes to the bottom of your inventory. And then you got to scroll down to your bottom of your inventory and then like drop it. And then you got to run away. And
yeah.
It's like, in my mind, it's like, should I be counting out in my head right now?
Yeah. So what I would do is I'd lay it down and then I'd run away. And then like the guy chasing me would just like run past it like the next turn. And then it wouldn't blow up until like three or four turns later.
When nobody was around.
It's like, then I kept like going back over it. Like, okay, maybe this time I can get it to blow up on him.
I walk back and be like, well, maybe I didn't set it, and I'll get back to it. And it's like, boom.
R.I.P.
So you can send a water convoy to your vault to give yourself more time.
Yep.
That's pretty important, I think, because I feel like that initial time is not nearly enough.
Especially if you don't know the map yet.
Yeah.
I actually got the chip like within a couple of days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But again, I knew what I was
If you know what you're doing, you can do it quickly.
That's why I put that caveat in there.
I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm walking back and forth over the map, and I'm like, wasting time.
Like literally, when I got to the, the water monarchy or whatever they're called, that controls all the water, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's this much. And I was like, but can I do this instead? And I was like, oh, I might come back. But...
Yeah, they also give you a warning that like raiders will be able to find it easier if you send a caravan out there.
I think that's might have been the reason why.
And I was just like, I don't know. I guess I'll do it. I need some more time. So I haven't seen the consequences yet in my playthrough. So
yeah, it's more or less like however you want to play. It's like, I don't think it affects anything as far as I know.
Yeah,
because I don't really think that raiders ever find the vault, even if you do that.
Yeah, I got you. And then I just had one more. Doorways are great. If you have like an enemy who's trying to target you and they can't like pass through the doorway because one of your companions is in the way, they will just stand there and let your companion kill them.
Yes.
That is great. So doorways can really be your friend, or they can be your enemy if your companions are in the way.
Corners are also a good thing. So if you get the Gatling gun, you can like just run around the corner if you have all the aggro, and as like the like super mutants or whatever, they have to use their points to get up to you, and the moment they get around the corner, you just blast them, and like that way you don't have to worry about them being like so far out you can't even see them, but they're shooting at you already, and you got to use all your action points to get closer to them. You can hide and have them come down to you.
Yeah, so they're like kind of like funneling and coming in single file. So yeah,
and you just stand there. next turn, you wait for the next guy to walk in, and you just step on into the suicide booth.
Any other strategy stuff?
Zach, that's in the boneyard, has unlimited caps, so you can just keep selling stuff to him. All you have to do is sell stuff to him, get out of the menu, talk to him again, and he'll have another 3,000 caps.
Oh,
so
wow.
So you can just sell everything you find and buy anything you want if I just keep going back to him.
I don't think I met Zach.
He was in the boneyard. He's in the fortress part, which was surrounded by the river of like toxic goo.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I may not have gone to that part.
Like, yeah, you have to get past the death claws, I think, right? Is it death claws?
Well, no, you don't need to do that. Granted, like I did, but like you have to sneak past the death claws.
Yeah, that's what I did initially. And then he gives you a mission to kill the Deathclaws.
Yes.
And those Deathclaws are really freaking hard to kill.
Yes, they are. Gotta aim for the eyes.
My strategy was like trying to aggro one and just have it chase me while my companions attacked it. But it wasn't that great.
Mine was more like fishing. I was like, I just gotta wait until they get far enough away from each other to where I can pull him away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't want to take all three at once or whatever.
That's almost too much.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're just sitting there healing yourself while your companions do damage.
So moving on to the future.
Da-da-da.
I did find a couple things for the future. You guys find anything?
Well, I only found like one thing, but probably the same things.
Yeah, so there hasn't been an announcement for Fallout 5 yet, but Todd Howard, a director and executive producer at Bethesda, did confirm that Fallout 5 will be their next project after Elder Scrolls 6. So possibly by 2030, 2040.
Yeah, it'll probably be a big gap.
Yeah.
I think they have to release Skyrim a few more times.
I don't know if they need to like make their company bigger or not, but...
Can we not have two teams?
Yeah,
like,
making two games at one time.
They're owned by Microsoft now, so...
Really?
Yeah.
It's even bigger.
So they should be big enough to pump out these games now.
Yeah,
you need definitely. To start emailing them every day. What was the other thing you found? Because that was really the only thing that I saw.
Oh, man, so you haven't heard.
Uh-uh.
So...
This might be why I was talking about spoiler alerts with my lore...
So coming April 12th, a Fallout television show is going to be on Amazon Prime.
Yes. How did I not see that?
Yeah, you're usually all about that stuff, Nick. Yeah.
I know. Well, I literally put it like Fallout news. You think that would come up? Like, whatever.
That's why I got so excited.
April 12th, yeah.
Like any good actors going to be
in
it?
I have no idea. I did not look.
Yeah, there are some. Like the detective from Twin Peaks. Not sure what his real name is, but he's a really famous guy.
Is it John Hamm?
No.
I don't know any celebrities.
Hold on,
I'll
look it up.
Yeah, I'm not sure his name.
Give me one second. I'll look it up.
The one guy that does the voice, for the father of Rick and Morty, which,
oh yeah, I know who you're talking about,
which I had a problem with that.
Parnell, right?
I tried not to know their names.
One of the bigger names that I've recognized is Walton Goggins. He was in The Shield, which I'm a really big fan of. He's also in Django Unchained, Predators, Justified, The Hateful Eight. And then it looks like a lot of like smaller actors and actresses. Ella Purnell is playing Lucy. Aaron Moten is playing Maximus. Which Maximus was in this game, so.
They might be doing one of the later Fallouts.
Yeah, from the preview, it almost looked like Fallout 3, where it like, looked like almost like a scene from, like when I saw it, I was like, that's Megaton. That's Megaton City right there. Because they had like the plane in the background. I was like, that looks like right out of my memory. And I was like, oh boy. I did have a couple issues with the preview, which is in the vault, the guy I was talking about, he's a Cyclops. And it's like, why is he a Cyclops? I don't think I've ever seen a Cyclops in the games.
Yeah, that's weird.
And if he's in the vault, then he shouldn't have been irradiated to become a Cyclops. So I'm wondering what they're going
to
say about that.
That means that they would have had to specifically try to breed a Cyclops somehow.
Maybe.
They definitely should have consulted you before they made this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why I got so excited about lore, because I'm like, the TV show is going to come out. It's like, how close are they going to follow this? And are they going to have all like the enclave and are they going to show all like the backstory and all the secret stuff that's going on in the background?
Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah. I was about to say, I bet they do a terrible job, but
yeah.
Because they are really bad about. I mean, there are a few good examples of them doing good, like video game series or video game movies, but for the most part, they tend to do a bad job.
Yeah. Which I think the people who worked on, like, The Boys, I think they're supposed to be doing a lot of the production of it.
I heard that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the TV show The Boys.
Yeah.
It's, like, super over the top, like, crazy, like, cringeworthy, but it's kind of like. I gotta watch.
Nice.
Yeah, I know it's really popular. Well, for your sake, I hope it's good, Luke.
I don't ever get my hopes up anymore. Yeah. Well, no, it's better because whenever it is good, I'm like, yeah.
Exactly. I always think about that, like, low I love the movie Dodgeball, and I always think about that scene in Dodgeball where, what's his fate? What's the Average Joe's guy?
Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah. When Vince Vaughn's character is like, if you have expectations, you get let down when you don't meet them. If you don't have any, you don't get disappointed.
Exactly.
So I do that with every movie and TV show now because I was just let down too many times by like some movies that I got excited for. Yeah. And they were so awful.
Yeah, you wait out in line since you know the crack of morning to watch a movie. And mm-hmm. it's like, I've been waiting in line for 12 hours for this.
Yeah, for real. I've been waiting 5 years for this. Like,
All right. We should talk about the challenges Luke gave us and how mm-hmm. we did.
Okay. I think I've already given it away.
So let's start with you, Nikki. Your challenge was to get the water chip and the vault mascot dog meat back.
Yes, on easy.
Oh, on easy difficulty.
I definitely did that. Easy mode part, check. Dog meat, check. Water chip, no check. Sorry.
Okay.
I got 2/3 of the challenge. Does that count?
No. Let's check with the vault. Oh, wait a minute. They're all dead.
Yeah. Oh, they're all dead because they didn't get any clean water. Yeah. Oh, okay.
They tried that whole Bears girl drinking their own urine. Hey. They're like, nah.
At least
yeah, that's a myth. That's a myth.
At least my vault would have survived longer because I did send that caravan to him.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did not get any of this.
What was your challenge again?
My challenge was to get the power armor and the Gatling gun.
On normal?
On normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you able to get that?
I was able to put it on normal.
but you didn't get the gun or the
I other? Got to where the Gatling gun was in the glow.
Well, you can purchase those too also later.
Yeah. So, but the first time I did it, like I died. And then I was doing my second attempt where you're supposed to actually do it right, where you do the Rad-X before you go in and get fully radiated. So I was doing it right, but I just didn't have enough time. Yeah, I ran out of time.
Yeah, that was one of my concerns. I was like, are you guys going to have enough time to even get this? Because, I mean, it's not just like you guys just sit and just play video games. You guys got lives. And I was like, well, I shouldn't say beat the game because I like, they'll never have time to do that.
But it was still like, I still enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun and I probably will go back and finish it.
Well, I gave myself my own challenge, which was on normal, keep dog meat alive the whole time, get the power armor and watch every single episode of your guys' podcast. Oh my I watched every single episode and this is what I got.
Yay!
Oh, nice.
After you do that.
He got a t-shirt just yeah. because oh, he can't yeah. see the oh, video. Yeah.
Pressing that t-shirt.
For just the audience contingent. Yes. But
from
yeah.
our website.
So yeah, you watch all the episodes or listen to all the episodes and for only like $20 shipping, you get a free shirt.
The shipping is ridiculous on that, isn't it?
That's cool though that you have the shirt on.
Awesome. So I guess we're wrapping. Since you did the challenge, I guess you can wrap with us if you want, Luke. I think we kind of actually kind of made you.
Yeah. Luke's rapping.
Yeah, I'm not that great. I'm like the whitest white boy there is. So.
Well, let's hear it.
Called up by the overseer, his quest could have been a little clear. One last look in the mirror, I hope I find some quality beer. Now I'm a lonely loner, on a lonely road alone. Traveling through the unknown, I found a dog with skin and bone. Ran into some glowing ghouls, some of them talk and others drool. I try to follow the golden rule and kill the only ones that act a fool. Keeping mutants off my back, excuse me while I reload my get. Getting ready for my blast attack, and now I can eat my iguana snack.
Junktown's hero, yeah, it's your bro. Gizmo Richie Rich started with zero. Now I own a casino from the bottom to the top. I'm the cream of the crop, stop, lock and drop, adjust your f-stop. This ain't Kids Bop. Now stop, I need a favor. Morals might waver, but you'd be my savior. Straight with no chaser. Killian's face needs an eraser. 1,000 caps for the Acer, or I'll hit you in your facer.
Got slick back hair. If I'm hurt, then I'm fleeing. I shoot without care. I'm your new bestie, Ian. I'm sorry I shot you, ain't sorry I fought through the armies of gaunt crew who bury a lot. Dude, shoot bullets, ain't counting, got black boots and browning. I'll kick you, ain't clowning, a cute sense of frowning. Now watch me die, I get burned alive when things go awry. A skeleton high five. I'm black and blue, a little bit crispy too. Dog meat can chew as I bid adieu. Adieu, my friend, adieu to you. I knew it would end, adieu.
Luke, I was not that bad. It was not that bad.
I thought it was good.
It was your first time ever rapping, you know?
It's kind of a weird rhythm, too. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it was tricky.
All right, so moving on to the next game. So, Nikki.
Yeah, Eric gets to pick.
I get to pick, and my choice is to let you pick, because I got two options for you.
Okay, are we doing like a door A, door B sort of thing?
I got door number 1A and door number 2B.
Oh my God, why do you have to make it so complicated?
Look for the secret door.
I do not have a secret door. There is no door 3.
I'm going to go with B for your little bitch. Just kidding.
All right.
B for your beautiful, Eric.
Door number 2B. So you just chose Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures.
Woo! What console's that on?
Sega Genesis.
Is that the one I got you for Christmas?
You actually bought me this game, so...
You did not ask for this game. I went rogue and I picked it out myself at Still Collectibles because the label on the game was so ridiculous. It was like this ridiculous looking Pac-Man guy.
It's like hang gliding.
A Mega Man cover.
we'll show you in a second, but it's just like I saw it on the wall and I was like, this is a weird looking Pac-Man game, get it? And it was only like, I don't know, $8 or something.
So yeah, so technically you did this to yourself then.
Woohoo!
So this game has a reputation, and I don't know what that reputation is. It's like, just like a weird,
I hope it's as weird as the art.
It is. I don't know if it qualifies as a bad game or not. I kind of think it does.
We'll find out.
But I haven't actually played it, so we'll find out. Do you want to hear what your challenge is?
I mean, that's a part of the fun. It's like, neither of us have played this game, so.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. It's going to be a surprise.
So your challenge is to get Pac Jr.'s guitar back.
You've never played the game. How did you come up with that challenge?
I looked through the missions and stuff.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's one of the later missions.
Okay. Great.
I mean, there's only like 4 or 5 missions total. I think there's only 4 missions in this game.
Yeah, we'll see how. Okay, we'll see how it goes.
You get ready to
I'm excited. We haven't done a Sega game in a while.
Yeah, and this is the kind of game where you get to control the main character with a slingshot. So.
Woo! Like Angry Birds?
No, nothing like Angry Birds. Not even a little bit.
Dang it. All right, well, sounds fun.
All right. And I just want to say thank you to Luke Newcomb for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This was great.
Yeah, it's always cool to have a special guest, especially one that we've known for so long.
Yeah, I really enjoyed nerding out with you guys.
It's been a long time coming for you to be on the podcast.
Yeah,
excellent.
We got to get Austin on.
Yeah,
next.
It's kind of funny that I've had you on before Austin. But of course, he's all the way in California.
Yeah, accessibility.
So it's kind of tough.
Yeah. Shout out to Austin.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
All right, bye.